A lot of times we hear that Hebrews was obviously written by Paul because it so resembles the other epistles that Paul wrote. But today I'm going to admit to you that there's an awfully lot of scholarship that says that Hebrews was written much later. What is very clear, though, is that the writer of Hebrews wanted to write in the style of Paul, learned a lot from Paul, and wanted to pass along many of the same lessons that Paul did. And so as we get set to start the new year tomorrow, I want to read a passage from Hebrews that reminds us that all of us are part of God's family. Hebrews 2, beginning with verse 10. Everything belongs to God, and all things were created by His power. So God did the right thing when He made Jesus perfect by suffering, as Jesus led many of God's children to be saved and share in His glory. Jesus and the people He makes holy all belong to the same family. That's why He isn't ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. He even said to God, "I will tell them your name and sing your praises when they come together to worship." And He also said, "I will trust God." And then He said, "Here I am with the children God has given me." We are people of flesh and blood. That's why Jesus became one of us. He died to destroy the devil who had power over death. But He also died to rescue all of us who live each day in fear of dying. Jesus clearly did not come to help angels, but He did come to help Abraham's descendants. He had to be one of us so that He could serve God as our merciful and faithful high priest and sacrifice Himself for the forgiveness of our sins. And now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, He can help anyone else who is tempted. The Word of God for the people of God. Can any of you help me remember the name of the place where everybody knows your name? Well, look at that. You all watched some TV in the past. The place where everybody knows your name. And you know, I don't think people just went there to eat and get something to drink. There was something special when the big guy came walking in the door and everybody yelled, "Norm," that's right. They yelled Norm. Norm felt great being there because he was comfortable. It was like a home to him. And I tell you, deep down, that is what we all want. We want to be recognized for who we are. We all need a place to belong, a place that fits you like your favorite, you know, pair of pants, your favorite jeans, your favorite sweats that you like to wear. And as welcoming as your snuggly recliner or chair that you sit in at home. You know what I mean? Very comfortable place. That is what we were created for, was to feel at home. Not to be alone, but to be, not to be isolated, but to be with others, to be a family with others, experiencing life with others. And the writer to the Hebrews wanted to make that clear by saying that, you know, this community that you're a part of is just like a family. This church that we belong to was created to be a home for all of us. Church isn't a place that we go to. It's part of who we are. It is estimated, I had some surveys that were done in 2016, and there were a lot of ways to look at the statistics. It's estimated that about one-third of us are lonely at least once every week. One-third of us, a huge number. A lot of people say that people identify more with characters on TV than they do with their friends and neighbors. People are looking for fellowship and community and a sense of family. I read a story about an older woman who every week or so goes to the post office to buy two stamps. She stands every week in the long line at the post office. And so, of course, one day the postal worker said, "You know, there's a machine over there you could buy a book of stamps in, and you wouldn't have to stand in this long line." And the woman said to him, "That machine over there won't ask me how my arthritis is." And isn't that what we are all looking for? We are looking for connection. We are looking for family and fellowship. The Bible uses a lot of metaphors to talk about what we are talking about today. And the biggest and most often used and persistent is talking about these churches as family. In the New Testament, believers call each other brothers and sisters. In Paul's letter to Ephesus, show me that next slide. He says, "You Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens with everyone else who belongs to the family of God." Paul said it over and over and over in the different epistles, in the different letters that he wrote to the New Testament churches. And Hebrews repeats it again. Gives the same lesson here. Because God has never wanted anything more than for all of us to know how much we're loved, how much God wants us to know Him and know Jesus. Jesus Himself, in His parables, in His writings that are written, and the writings that are written down of the things Jesus said, obviously said, "We are a family." And use that. Most of us who are regular, and Gene, you may not realize this. Gene Smith, you may not realize this, but you really feel at home in that seat, don't you, here in the sanctuary? You come in here and sit in that seat pretty near every time, doesn't it? That's your seat. It's molded and fits you. And when you sit in that seat, how do you feel? You feel like you're at home, don't you? I think the pews around many of you are perfectly formed. Places where you sit. It's like when you get home and you take off your whatever your clothes you've been wearing during the day and you put on that old ratty sweatshirt. You know what I'm talking. And then on the other hand, there are people who have never felt that way about a house of God, who've never really felt the blessing of being part of something as big as the family of God. These words in Hebrew are such great words for us to hear this morning. And what they say to me is you don't need a green card, you don't need a special visa, you don't need a visitor's pass, you don't need anything. Because of the suffering of Jesus, we belong. We are no longer strangers, we are no longer temporary citizens. Instead, when we proclaim Jesus, we are in Christ and we become citizens. Members of this family. We become a part of the household of God. And there's something that we gloss over all the time. In Greek, you know, have you heard household of God in the Bible? A lot, haven't you? Now, in Greek, the word for household that they translate is blood relations. It is not some fancy schmancy, you're adopted, when they say you're part of God's family, part of the household of God. No, no, no. You are a blood relation. You are part of the family of God. Hebrews had to make this clear because there were Greeks and Jews, and by then the church had spread to many of these other places. Hey, you're all part of the blood relations family of God. You have a place in God's family. Whether you want in this new year to feed the hungry or help a homeless family or clean up the community here where we live or share the gospel, we can't do any of those things alone. And so the benefit of being part of a family is that we will do that work together. We will strengthen each other and support each other in that work. Everyone needs a place where they belong, where people smile when you arrive, where everybody knows your name, where when you're walking out the door, they say, "See you soon," and they mean it. Maybe your family is far away. Maybe you're feeling alone, or maybe you could just use a new friend or two. This place is meant to be your home too. /church. God doesn't just call us to believe. He calls us to belong and calls us to serve. The entire Bible is the story of God building a family that will support and strengthen and stir one another up in love to go out and change the world into that reimagined kingdom that Jesus imagined. God created you and I to be part of it. We are family. And a very important thing we need to do is make sure that everyone in the family feels welcome. Amen? Amen. Our hymn of invitation is "His Eye is on the Sparrow." We're going to sing verses 1 and verses 2. It's number 82 in your hymnal. It is indeed one of your resolutions to make everyone feel welcome always. Stand with us now as we sing "His Eye is on the Sparrow." You may be seated. Giving an offering to the Lord, the Bible tells us, requires a sacrifice. That actually kind of went right along with it. In the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, the Bible actually mentions in a place that one of the sacrifices they gave was two turtle doves.